With over 200 flavor notes to discover, Woodford Reserve is more than just a spirit. It's a spectacle for the senses. Toast to 150 years of the Kentucky Derby with the best bet in bourbon. Raise a glass of Woodford Reserve on this monumental celebration.
Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Welcome back to our Bears Friday football feast. It's Carmen and Yurko, live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Woodridge on ESPN Chicago, the new home of the Bears.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, Southern California.
Austin Jones in the backfield, and here goes Caleb Williams. Go deep, young man, and one out. Touchdown, Brendan Rice.
It's a keeper. Williams running for his life. Fires to the end zone. Jump ball. Touchdown. Rice open that time. Unorthodox, but deadly.
Caleb is looking for just about anybody. This is where he really is devastating when he starts becoming a maestro. Look out. There he is. Touchdown.
There he is, Caleb Williams. The Bears' future hopes and dreams right there. Roma Dunze added with pick 9, Bears have a couple of picks left, 75 and 122. They do have double-digit picks already next year, and as Courtney Cronin told us a little while ago, she does not expect the Bears to start taking any of that future capital to do a whole lot of maneuvering this weekend. And that's fine. I think they hit 2 home runs. Let's hope we're right with what they did last night. There's still the opportunity to get a couple of players that can have an impact on this team. I don't know that there's a ton left to fill. I would love another pass rusher, though, without a doubt. If you can at some point here, if you can find another pass rusher, I would love it.
I don't think you can have too many pass rushers.
Amen.
Guys with the ability to get to the quarterback would be nice. Your kid from Illinois is still out there, right?
Johnny Newton's still out there. There's a lot of good players. Look, there are a lot of good corners. I don't think the Bears need help there necessarily, but you've got a whole bunch here that'll probably come off the board early in round 2.
I would think next year with all those draft choices is where you address your defensive backs because you're going to have Brisker coming into a contract, probably Gordon possibly coming into a contract.
Both.
Believe it or not, even with a rookie quarterback, not everybody can get paid.
Amen.
At some point, somebody's not going to get paid.
Somebody gets sacrificed, right, and you got to go young somewhere else.
It happens. Yeah. Eddie Jackson was sacrificed. White hair sacrificed. That's the way it ended up working. In White hair's situation, it probably was going to be a natural sacrifice because he was getting up in age, and he might even be retired now.
He signed with the Raiders, didn't he? I'm pretty sure he's out with the Raiders.
And, you know, you can sign with whoever you want. Now you still got to make the team.
Yes, that's true.
When you get long in the tooth, you still got to go make the team out there.
When you're long in the tooth with a lot of wear and tear and some injuries, you're right, Yurk. Yeah, he signed with the Raiders. That's
right, but decisions need to get made when guys start coming into where they've got to get paid.
Yep.
So you've got to be careful, and if you're not ready to move on from guys, then you put yourself in a position where you're paying players that might not deserve all the money that they end up getting. So that's what the Bears got to be wary of in the future. Mm. Now, that's what your general manager thinks about. That's what Poles and that's what Ian Cunningham got to think about as they start moving into the future.
Right.
But with the starting it all over at the quarterback position, less of a concern for 4 or 5 years now. It's less of a concern.
One thing I wanted to ask Courtney, but we were just that short on time, is the future of, two things with the wide receiver room. With Allen, if it's going to be just a one-and-done, help us this year, help our young quarterback. And when do they think about maybe extending DJ Moore? Because I think that's part of something that they'd like to do.
Yeah, I think DJ Moore's one more contract in him
for sure. That's what I think, Yurk. Yes, yes. And you've got a young Roma Dunze now behind him, so, like, you can do it. We'll have to, you know, catch up on some of that as we go later in the offseason.
Here's the odds, right? You use you get Keenan Allen for what he's left on his contract, right?
Yes, 1 year.
One year, you use him. Dunze comes in, you step in, you say thank you for all the contributions, but if Keenan Allen's going to want to get paid again, it's going to be someplace else. Yep. It won't be here in Chicago, right?
Yep. That's what I would think.
Unless you can extend his contract a couple of years, which they haven't talked to him yet about, to make this number cheap, next year's number cheap, and then you know, move on from him in year three.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of thing that you're thinking about.
Could do, yeah.
DJ Moore's going to get paid. You've got your inexpensive guy.
Yes.
There's even room for Tyler Scott. You know, Tyler Scott was at the place I was at yesterday.
At Chicago Athletic Association?
Chicago Athletic. I was at the game room. He was down on the first floor, the bottom floor. And he was doing a signing, and he was there with a gentleman from the NFL Network.
Adam Rank, I think it was.
Yeah,
right?
That's who it was. They sent one of their minions up to my floor. We were jam-packed, right, with Elijah Craig at the game room.
Yeah.
Jam-packed, giving away golf bags, giving away JBL receivers.
Golf bags?
Yeah, golf bags. Elijah Craig stand-up bags. They were beautiful. Giving away gift certificates to Cherry Star. They sent their guy up. Hey, you know Tyler Scott's downstairs. At Taylor or Tyler?
Tyler Scott.
Tyler Scott. Hey, he's down there.
They're trying to poach your audience?
They're coming in for the audience that we drew in.
That's the good kids' audience.
And they're coming in trying to poach people to go downstairs to say hello to Tyler Scott. I mean,
see, if Tyler Scott would have had a better rookie year, they wouldn't have had the poaching.
I go, not only that, it was a surprise to me they were there. We promoted this thing all over God's green earth, right?
Yeah, I didn't see anything about Tyler Scott.
I'm like, these guys come up here. I'm like, what in the hell in the hog's ass is going on over here? Ashpeta, out, champ, out.
Don't poach our.
Well, go to the street and pull people off the street. Don't come up to my guys and try to get my guys to go and say hello to you guys.
That's classic.
I couldn't believe it. The audacity.
Yeah, really, the audacity.
The Kajanis of these people to come up there and
where
try
do they
to
get their
that.
Balls, these
I
people?
I don't know.
Carl's in Dixon talking Bears with Carmen and Yurko. It's a glorious football Friday here at Buffalo Wild Wings in Woodridge. What's going on, Carl?
What's going on, guys? I'm Matricana Carbonara. Como estas?
Yeah, here's our guy. Yeah, Matricana Carbonara.
Hey, listen, I heard you. I saw you guys on YouTube. It was such a pleasant surprise. I was on YouTube listening to, like, Greeny, and then you guys just, like, popped on. I was like, yeah.
Hey, this is you were surprised. Imagine me and Carm.
I loved it. I got all these ideas to, like, write a, like, variety show for you guys centered around football and games, and you guys, too, be with the stars. I think it'd be a hit. We could sell it to, like, ESPN Plus and get a little thing on the streaming. Well, I'm serious.
I'm ready.
You guys are good. Very pleased with yesterday. Today, my question to you guys is, there's a couple of players that I like. I think a lot of us are looking to see what happens with the center from Oregon, right? Johnson, Jackson, Powers,
yeah,
Austin.
Yeah.
All right. I'm personally interested. I like the safety from Miami, Cameron Kitchens. I like the safety from Minnesota, Newbin. I know Yurko has said that he's not a big fan of the DLs that are available this year, but I like guys like Chris Jenkins and Tavondre Sweat. And, you know, and my question to you guys is, we got 75-122. Are there any players out there that I know we're not trying to give up assets, but what's the limit? Like, how close do we let them get before it gets to the point where just to move up like 3, 4, maybe 6 or 7 spots, we're just going to have to throw in like a 6-rounder and the team's going to move back and get who they want anyway? Like, are there any players that you say, look, we're not going to trade our future away to get this guy, but if we're at 75 and Tavondre Sweat's available at like 68, yeah, maybe it's worth throwing in a 6-rounder to get him. And so what do you think of those players? I'm also like, I like Brandon Rice from USC. If he falls to us in the 4th round, I think the risk-reward value there is awesome with him. And I don't mind having two rookie wide receivers.
At some point, I think you do sort of cut off your wide receiver room. And I guess I see what you're saying, Carl. And Carl, thanks for the phone call. I mean, I don't know that I'm in the market at this point for Rice. That seems like it'd be maybe a little bit more of a luxury. I mean, I think your wide receiver room is set. You can address a few other things. I think it's a good question that he asks. Like, is there someone that is falling that makes you say, okay, we'll take one of those picks from next year? I mean, if you're talking about a 6-round pick, sure, it's going to be in play. It's also probably not going to be enough to get a deal done, even to move up just 6 spots. It might not be enough.
Well, I tell Jenkins, the kid from Michigan's a big body in the middle, doesn't have much of a pass rush here early in his career.
Right.
Would have to develop that at the NFL level because I don't think he has it right now. But he is a big, beefy body.
Yes,
and if you're only
going
to play him on first downs and second and shorts and goal line situations, I don't think you're going to have to trade up to be able to do that. I think he'll be able to fall wherever he can fall, and you can get him if you want him there. The big, beefy fella from Texas,
Tavondre Sweat.
A little sloppy for my game,
okay.
A little bit beefy. I mean, Vince Wilfork always was big,
yes,
but he wasn't sloppy. Tavondre Sweat's got a little sloppiness to him.
Okay.
Like to tighten that up at the NFL level. You might be good at 366. I bet you if you were at 335, you'd be a lot better.
Really?
I think that 31 pounds, 10%, if you can lose 10% of his body weight, mm-hmm, I think he becomes a much more productive player. That's what I believe. So that's the first thing I would do is I tighten that body up a little bit. Let's get that down. That inner tube that keeps shaking around your waist, it might be fun and it might be great to talk about at pool parties, but it's not fun to have on an NFL football field. So I would say, you know, that's it. If one of them is available and you want to bring them in to get some young depth at your defensive line, I wouldn't argue with you. Zach Pickens, I thought, was the better of the three last year until Dexter was getting the better of it at the end. I thought Dexter developed. I thought Dexter had more talent, and he finally surpassed what Pickens was able to give you. Both guys are going to get in the offseason, a full slate in the offseason, OTAs, the whole ball of wax, second year, more confidence. I expect better out of both of these guys going in. But if you want to go ahead and double up and you want to provide yourself some depth, I'd prefer to see somebody coming off the corner that can sack the quarterback than a defensive tackle up the middle right now.
Right now, I think it's a little bit more pressing for the Bears. I agree with you.
I can find a run guy in the NFL that will be made available every single year because they don't want to pay a premium for a guy that's just going to play 32% of the downs.
Absolutely.
You can find that. You found it with Billingsley. You found it with Jones. You can find that guy to come in and give you and provide you some depth. For $3 million. You know what I'm saying? You can find that all the time.
Let's say hi to Mark in South Bend on ESPN 1000 with Carmen in New York. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Carmen. Hey, good kid. What you doing? What a night last night in Detroit. An incredible night. And I think the Bears made themselves two steps closer to a possible Super Bowl one day, for sure. The thing I want to talk to you guys about is what Courtney Cronin was saying tonight, the rest of tonight and tomorrow, that the Bears could probably stand pat and not kind of delve into next year's lottery or draft stock and just stand pat with their two picks unless something incredible comes by. I was going to ask you guys, and this would have been a good question for Courtney, what happened last night with Atlanta. I believe Ryan Pace is still part of the Atlanta Falcons operations, correct?
He is.
There, I think he's their VP of player personnel, I think.
What they did to get Penick Jr. sounds like something he would come up with. And he's had the and hear me out on this. When he first came with the Bears as GM, he says it would be good. I wouldn't mind getting a quarterback every year, whether I needed one or not. And I don't know if he might have had the GM's ear or something like this, but them going for Penick and drafting Penick sounds like something that he might have talked someone into down at Atlanta. What do you guys think?
I think it sounds like, and thanks for the call, Mark, it sounds like Raheem Morris was a huge fan. Ryan Pace is their director of player personnel at this point. Ryan Pace, I'm guessing, had very little input into that. I mean, it's easy to joke and it's fun to joke.
Who's their GM?
Terry Fontenot.
Fontenot's the guy.
And their college scouting director and their head coach.
Yeah. The Fontenot is the general manager.
Yeah, the director of player personnel.
Decision maker.
Again, it's fun to joke about. I don't think Ryan Pace had much input, influence, or say in that. I want to play Terry Fontenot last night real quick. And you talked about this earlier. You talked about all the quarterbacks get hurt. It is curious. I love drafting quarterbacks. I've said that forever. Now, it doesn't mean you sign a $100 million quarterback and you draft one with the 8th overall pick. I mean, they're smart and then there's bizarre. I won't say dumb, but, like, they're smart, right? Drafting quarterbacks is smart. And then there's, like, what are you doing? And to me, this is, like, what are you doing? I mean, well, first of all, Michael Penix has had two ACL injuries. He turns 24 in a week. You just signed a quarterback for $100 million guaranteed, and you can't get out of it for at least two seasons. To me, it's bizarre.
If they don't draft Penix, does Minnesota draft Penix? Does
I don't know. I think JJ was
right.
Their guy.
So my point then is, could you have got Penix at 40?
Yeah, you might have been able to, Yerk.
If he slips and he gets out of there and he goes into the second round, can Atlanta grab him at 40? If they have the 40th pick, I don't have it in front of me.
Well, they put it ahead close, right? Yeah,
right.
Right.
I'm just saying, eighth pick, and there would be the 40th pick.
Yeah.
Could you have got Michael Penix in the 40th pick? I have a feeling you might have been able to.
And I see where you're going with it.
So if you went Dallas Turner, Michael Penix Jr., now you're looking at the Atlanta Falcons, you say, what a draft. Wow, look at them. And their greatest weakness, and I don't remember who they signed in the offseason because I don't
they
really
signed Darnell Mooney.
Rats again about the Atlanta Falcons. Darnell Mooney, the worst position on that team is the defensive tackle position. They stink in the middle. Now, unless they address that in the offseason, it will continue to be their biggest weakness in Atlanta.
Which team in the NFL? I want to play that Fontenot sound real quick. Which team in the NFL has the fewest sacks over the last 3 years?
Atlanta Falcons, only because you asked.
Can you name the last Atlanta Falcon with double-digit sacks?
John Abraham.
No, Vic Beasley, like in 2016.
Okay.
Defense would have made sense.
Yes.
All right, this is Terry Fontenot, and this is even more bizarre. So when you listen to the GM explain the decision, here you go.
If you believe in a player at that position, because if we're all sitting here a few years from now, whenever it is, and this guy's playing pretty good for somebody, regardless of the situation, regardless of you sit there and look back and we pass him up, you can't do that. If you believe in a quarterback, you have to take him. And if he sits for 4 or 5 years, that's a great problem to have because we're doing so well at that position. So it's just as simple as if you see a guy that you believe in at that position, you have to take him.
I mean, in his scenario, if he sits 4 or 5 years, Michael Penix is 29. I don't just again, I won't go so far as to say dumb, but it's bizarre, it's curious, it's odd. And I don't know why they go out and they're so aggressive to get Kirk Cousins if they feel like with the top 10 pick, they need to take a 24-year-old quarterback who's had his own injury history. It was weird.
So you got,
what else can you say?
You got Atlanta at 43. They've got the 43rd pick.
So maybe he doesn't make it
there. 8, I had him 43rd pick. Yeah, maybe he doesn't make it. I don't know. But taking him at 8 is very weird.
Yeah. All right, more of your Bears calls coming up at 312-332-3776. Carmen and York live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Woodridge. Come by and see us. We'll be right back.
Draft day makes us hungry. You too? Why don't you join us at Buffalo Wild Wings in Woodridge? It's our Friday football feast. We'll save you some wings. Now back to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
We already crushed some wings. Some chicken nachos.
Chicken
nachos at Buffalo Wild Wings I love them. They're phenomenal. They are just excellent. That cheese sauce and the roasted chicken
is a top notch.
And the jalapenos and the pickled Fresnos.
Jalapenos.
Absolutely delicious. What are you looking at, Black Desert?
I had a guy that's here, this gentleman up front, and he said Black Desert Golf in Irvine, Utah.
It looks beautiful.
It's about a couple hours north of Las Vegas.
Wow.
Yeah.
Looks gorgeous.
Yeah, so
gorgeous.
I'm just checking it out. It's got a little flyover with the little doohickey on there. You're out there.
Yeah, you are.
You're in the desert.
Denver, Sunshine State. Gorgeous.
What movie?
What a movie. Old school.
Oh, my God.
Denver. Sunshine State.
Well, you know me. I'm always looking for a nice golf course. I always take suggestions.
Yes, I know.
You know, right now, the Scotland trip, and one of our buddies, Dave Slocum, was here earlier. He's going to be on that trip.
I'm jealous of that trip.
Yeah, everybody's worried about me hitting them in the head now, thinking about taking out umbrella policies to protect themselves.
Let's see. Back out to the phones talking Bears. God, I cannot remember a time we've all collectively been this excited.
This giddy?
And I don't not too much pushback about like, oh, they should have done this, they should have done that. I think everybody's pretty happy with the Roma Dunze pick. I know I am. I mean, I've been talking them up for months. Love them. Absolutely love them. And I've said this, I think in 3 years, if you said any one of those three wide receivers turns out to be the best one or the best receiver in the league, I wouldn't be shocked. I think all three have the potential to be that good. Marvin, Neighbors, and Adunze. And the Bears have one of them, and I just absolutely love him. I love his size. I love some of the route running. I love his ability to come down with contested catches. I think that's a skill that translates very well to the NFL. So super excited. What did you think about the Chiefs making a move to get Xavier Worthy? We talked about him a little bit yesterday. I think he's more than just the speed.
He's a wispy.
He's a little slight, but.
Yeah, he's wispy.
And far be it from, I'm not an expert. You know, you have Waddle look at the tape and tell you
Well, you got to be happy if you're drafted by Kansas City, right?
And I think his route running is better than maybe people expect. He's not just the speed. I mean, the speed is incredible, but I think the route running is still there and is still good. I think he has the potential to be very good, and that could be a really nice fit in that offense.
And the issue they had with their wide receiver, Goggles Paisano, in the Lamborghini and the Corvette.
Catch the ball.
Well, catch the ball, but also the off-field problems that they have. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
When I say Goggles Paisano, that's the great Fred Flintstone when he was out there racing around the track.
That's what you meant.
As the great Goggles Paisano.
I got you.
You know, with
Goggles
that, with that issue, obviously it made.
Antiquated reference,
right,
good call.
But
that's
made,
what she writes, yeah.
It made for the fact that they had to find somebody, because he's going to get suspended. It's going to be one game, two games, three games, four games. How many games are you going to end up getting suspended?
He's getting suspended,
for?
Yeah.
You left the scene of the accident. You came back. Maybe you took accountability for that.
He's getting suspended.
Okay, yeah. So they had to address the wide receiver position, whether they liked it or not.
Yes,
so.
Yeah.
There you go. So it makes sense.
And they did have some trouble with the drops last year. I think they're still looking for a receiver.
They always do.
Let's grab, let's see, Waddle texted me.
Tommy did?
Yeah.
Is he want to know if I want coffee? Is that what he said?
No.
Waddle thinks Xavier Worthy tracks the ball well, too. So I'm telling you, like, there's some, there are.
Good vision.
There are, you know who tracks it well is Neighbors.
Yeah.
I mean, my God. I think a lot of these first-round receivers, I really do think a lot of them have a chance to be outstanding. And Brian Thomas has got some qualities that you really like. Worthy obviously does with the speed and some of the route running and the ability to track the ball. But the three at the top, I think, can be incredible.
The last two were the last two choices were wide receivers also, right?
Yes, they were. Ricky Pearsall, who's got he's another guy who could – I mean, you talk about a guy that can secure the football and he's got good hands. And then Xavier Leggett, who I don't know as much about. I haven't watched as much as Xavier Leggett.
Was it eight wide receivers in the first
round? I believe
it
was eight. Do I? I can count them real quick.
Six quarterbacks. Eight wide receivers.
Yep.
One tight end. It gives us 15.
And then seven
offensive tackles.
No, that would be eight, right?
Eight offensive tackles.
Because it was 23 altogether, right? So I think your count is right there.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
Nine defensive players.
Oh, you know what? Graham
get?
Barton was, so I think seven
center.
Tackles and a center.
And a center.
Because Graham Barton
He's
went.
A tackle that can play center.
He'll play center.
Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah, tackle that can play center.
He played mostly center at Duke. No?
They just said he's a tackle that can play center.
Okay. I thought he played mostly center
He's
at Duke.
A center that can play tackle.
Maybe he's
How
a center
that
can play tackle.
Let's do that one. Yeah.
I don't know.
And guess what? If you can play center
now,
and tackle, by mistake, you can play guard.
Now, I think that a lot of these receivers are going to hit, and we're seeing more and more receivers hit. With the quarterbacks, hey, you'd be talking about all-time outlier stuff if, like, two of these guys or three of these six are good, let alone all of them. You know, you'd be getting into 2020 draft, 1983 draft territory. Those are few and far between. Let's just hope our guy, as Bears fans, is, you know, if only one hits or if two hit, let's hope he's the one or one of the two. Let's get back out to the phones. Hold on. I will say hi now. Let's say hi, York, to Tom in Lombard. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. Just had a question. I think yesterday was obviously a real exciting day for all Bears fans. For people like me who aren't, you know, hip to the quarterback ability, what might, you know, people like myself, what should we love about Caleb right now, and what should we be watching week to week for him to improve on? I feel like we've heard a lot the last couple weeks about the person, Caleb Williams. I've seen the highlights. You know, I've seen his ability to make spectacular plays. On a down-to-down basis, what should we love right off the bat about Caleb Williams, and what should we be weary of?
All right, good question, Tom.
All right, be weary of. Let's do weary first. Be
okay,
weary of him
first.
Holding on to the football too long.
And holding it like a loaf of bread, like Joniak
right.
said yesterday.
Be worried about him not being willing to settle for the simple stuff early. You got a combination route. The combination, the under guy is over open, and he wants to hold on to the ball, maybe try to make a bigger play than needs to be made. Lack of patience early in his game. That's what you got to be wary of. What do you like? You
Excellent.
Like his arm strength.
Yeah. Okay.
You like his athleticism. That's what you like. You like his arm strength. You like his athleticism. You like the fact that he's played in a modern system when he was in college.
I guess you'll know if he's getting better if he does the things that you guys always talk about. You know, is he on time? Does he understand progressions? Does he understand where the ball's supposed to go? Does he understand what the defense is showing him? And can he react to that? Can he be on time?
Does he pull the trigger?
Yeah.
Can he throw the guy open?
Yes.
You know, two guys running next to each other. You got a little cushion on the sideline.
Yes.
You throw the receiver open. Are you smart enough to throw the ball in the back hip?
Right.
You know, when you have to.
When you have to.
Can you feather the football? Can I see him feather a ball in when they're trying to bait the corner to come and kind of bite on the flat route, and you sneak that little seven route to the sideline in? Can you feather that ball in high enough but strong enough to beat the safety coming over and the corner who's going to be dropping in that coverage? Jalen Johnson had two interceptions last year where he baited the quarterback into throwing the ball, came back in out of that, and he ended up intercepting the ball. But you got to make it look like you're staying up. He dropped back. So can the quarterback go ahead and distinguish between that and still be able to float that football over?
I love it.
It's what Jalen Hurts did 2 years ago.
Not as much last year.
But didn't do it a lot last year.
Justin's in Iowa. What's going on, Justin?
What's up, guys? Great day. It's one of those days where, like, most of us probably stayed up all night and didn't get an ounce of sleep, and we're feeling fine, you know?
Yes, you're right.
Obviously, I want Caleb to do well. I want the stats to be through the roof. I want the wins and all that. But I want to go a different route, two different things. Number one, I want him to become the face of the league. I want Packer fans to be tired of seeing him on TV the way I'm tired of seeing Patrick Mahomes on TV. I want to see him on Saturday Night Live. I want to see the Bears become, like, America's team in that sense. Number two, the thing that I'm so excited about is he's the type of player, to your last caller that was asking, like, what we should be excited about. He's going to be the type of guy, like, if his headset doesn't work and he can't hear a play, he's already going to have, like, 15 plays in his mind that he thinks are going to work. And even if none of them work, he'll make this amazing play and then tell us later, I had no idea what I was doing out there, and it just worked. I think Bears fans deserve that. I cannot wait for that. Bear down.
Thank you, Justin. Appreciate it. Yeah, a little backyard football in a pinch, maybe when you need it. Okay. Can he be one of the faces of the league? That would be great. That means he's awesome, because he can't be a face of the league without being awesome. You know, you can have a great personality,
exactly.
And you can be an individual, and you can be outspoken, and you can be all those things. You can be a great teammate, but if you're not a great player, you're not the face of the league. Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers and all the other, and Tom Brady – they're great players.
Yes.
So they get to do the discount double check, and they get to do
all the silliness,
right?
Exactly. All the silliness.
Because they got to be great. And if he gets to that point, it means he's great, and that's great for all of us. More of your calls coming up. I want to talk a little bit more in depth with Yerk about the Bears receiver room specifically, and how incredible I think potentially it's going to be. 312-332-3776. Plus, we're going to do the lunch rush. We are live having some lunch with Miller Lite out at Buffalo Wild Wings in Woodridge. Waddle and Sylvie do the show here a little bit later. We'll crosstalk in like an hour. We'll be right back.
The Bears announce new stadium plans. The Bears draft new players. The Bears. Too much Bears to talk about. How do we handle it all? Wait for it. We're winging it. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Woodridge, this is the ultimate day after draft celebration. Now back to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
We'd like to thank our great friends over at Hard Rock Casino Northern Indiana for their partnership throughout the Bears season and all of our Bears coverage this week, including the draft. We are live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Woodridge with Miller Lite. Waddle and Sylvie follow us. Crosstalk is in an hour. Caleb and Roma Dunze are expected to check in with the guys sometime around 3. I think the official press conferences are around 4. Of course, you'll hear them right here on your home for Chicago Bears football, ESPN Chicago. The NFC North is going to be tough here. Lions have a total of 10.5. It's juiced to the over, minus $1.20. The Packers have a total of 10.5. The over there is actually plus $1.30, so the juice on the under for Green Bay. The Bears total is at 8.5. The juice is out to the over. The juice is out to $1.40 right now, and then the Vikings are at 6.5. The Bears are about plus 350 3.5-1 underdog to win the division. Lions are the favorite, followed closely by the Packers, and then, like I said, the Bears at about 3-1. But I expect them to be in it. I really do. If this plan is coming together, and if Caleb plays at the level we all expect him to play, I think the Bears are going to be in it for sure, in the playoff hunt, in the division hunt. But it's going to be a competitive division, I think, in 2024.
It's 14,010.
Yes.
14,010, G. That's where you operate. I understand. That's your speed, your unit play. That's why I'm just trying to focus my unit play on exactly what's happening.
Big old unit.
I do expect the Bears to be somewhat competitive in that thing. I've got them at 11.
Wow,
so the 8.5 to me is not
that'd
even
be
a
great. I mean, 11. You could be taking that division crown.
I mean, you're 11-6. I don't think you take the division crown with 11. I don't.
Detroit won 12 last year.
I think 13-4.
Whoa,
wins that division.
Wow,
I do. And remember,
hey, Tommy Waddle in the house.
Snot-nosed Tommy. A little Dunkin' Donuts for Johnny Handsome.
I mean, not a Tommy.
I had a beer. I don't know if Tommy talked to you.
No,
he's
fine.
Maybe got a little something from you or not.
I could have probably used a coffee today.
But either way, I'll give
Waddle
you some
Waddle will give
of
me
mine.
Half of his.
Yeah. Either way, I'll give you some of mine.
Let's do, you want to do the lunch rush?
Yeah. Are you asking me?
I'm not asking you, Adam. I was
asking you.
I'm taking a sip of coffee.
Are you
the
asking
minute
me
I put it, hey. The minute I put the coffee to my lips, he goes to me, hey, you want to do the lunch rush? I said, let me not take a sip now.
Black and Abdallah back at the shop. Adam's got the lunch rush. What's up, boys?
I will say this. Hello. I did put a larger than usual unit on the over 8.5 last night because on FanDuel, FanDuel.com/Abdallah, it was still -110.
Oh, okay. Good for you. You beat some of the steam there.
Now it's -125 on FanDuel.
Wow.
And that's better than some other places.
It is better because I saw it at 140, Adam.
Wow.
So, yeah. All right.
Pencil whip.
So looking at some of these numbers, most regular season rookie passing yards for next year, Caleb is the favorite at +110. J.J. McCarthy +250. Jaden Daniels +350. Bo Nix at 8-1.
You know, I love what the Bears have in their receiving room almost as much as any trio in the league. I think the Vikings, you can make an argument, have a hell of a collection of weapons up there, too. And I know Jefferson's not all that happy right now, but he's not going anywhere. So I guess I could see it for J.J. I still think the great unknown with J.J. is just, do we know enough? I mean, he just didn't throw it a lot in that offense the last couple of years. So we'll see. I'm still somewhat skeptical. We can't cheer for him as much because he's in the division now. You know, he's a local kid. I think everybody was sort of on board, cheer for the local kid. Cheer for him as much because he's in the division.
You can cheer for him in every game except when he's playing you.
Yeah, but
would you mind if they beat the Packers twice?
No, I wouldn't mind that. That's true.
Right?
I wouldn't mind that, Yurko.
If they,
you don't want to cheer for him too much.
If you gave Detroit a hard game, a couple tough games, you know, where you made him get taxed a little bit, maybe forced the guy to play a little harder than he had to and strain a hammy on the other team, that could only help the Chicago Bears.
I'll just add on to what Adam was saying, too, about some of the numbers. Offensive rookie of the year, Caleb, obviously the favorite at 2-1.
That's my next one, thanks.
Oh, go. You go then, Adam. Go ahead. I didn't know you were going there next.
I was going to go there next. Caleb Williams is +210, but his passing yards are still at 3,400. That's up from when we talked about him, I believe, last week. It was 3,350.
That's right.
Now it's up to 3,400.
Yeah, I would. Boy, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid in history here, but I'm taking
problem.
The over. I'm sorry.
The only thing that derails him. The only thing that derails him off that number is injury.
Yes, of course. And you can't predict that. But I'm taking the over. He plays 16, 17 games. I'm taking the over.
Some odds for Roma Dunze's regular season numbers. Regular season receiving yards over or under 675.5.
Well, that's interesting how to try to slot in the rookies. Plus, he's playing with two guys that are arguably two of the 15, 18 best receivers in the league. I mean, that's a tough number, man. I don't know. I've got to stop and think about that for a second. How's it going to be allocated?
If your quarterback gets the 4,000 yards, there's a possibility.
Yeah, that's true.
So your tight end's going to have 10 yards a catch. If he gets 70 catches, he's at 700 yards. 1,400 for your top receiver to 1,500. Your second receiver probably gets 1,100. And then you've got a handful of things left for your third receiver. And if it's not 1,100, you're looking at 4,000. You're giving up 4,000 yards amongst your guys.
Right.
So how do you do it?
How do you do it?
Yeah.
Yeah. 26. Now they were
so
on
he's
different.
Your third receiver. If he's your third receiver,
and that's what you think,
then
it might
becomes
be.
Life becomes difficult to try to get that 800
that's what
number.
That's what I'm saying. If you look last year, and obviously they were not teammates, and they were sort of their, you know, they were their own team's number one. So it's not a perfect way to view them as a set of teammates now, and how the allocation might be divvied up, but. Allen and DJ Moore last year combined for just over 2,600 yards.
Yeah.
It's a lot of yardage. All right, Adam, what else?
Bears 40-1 to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I saw 30-1 actually this morning on one site, too.
Yeah.
Boy, FanDuel's given a good set of lines there, my friend.
Just saying. FanDuel.com/Abdallah.
/Abdallah.
Did you guys see this David Tepper story?
Oh, God, now what? I did not.
He was walking by a bar yesterday, and the marquee on the bar said, "Please let the coach and GM pick this year." And he went inside. There's video footage of him going inside and talking to the people at the front of the bar. He takes the hat off of the most egregious thing he did, not walking in and complaining about the sign and asking him to change it, but is taking the hat off of someone who I can't tell if they were wearing a Panthers hat or it was another hat or something, but he removed the hat from one of the people working there.
What?
And then there's video, there's not really audio of it, of him criticizing them for having this on their marquee of the bar as like a funny message. Please let the coach and GM pick this year.
I think, first of all, that's hilarious by the bar. This guy's a wackadoodle, plain and simple. I mean, I don't know what else you could say about David Tepper.
In the old days, they'd have shown him the door. They'd have thrown him out by the seat of his pants.
I mean, really.
Told him to hit the bricks and get the hell out of Dodge.
I don't know. I mean, he did something right with his mind because he made himself billions, so good for him. But he's a complete wacko.
Yeah.
I don't know. What can you say? I mean.
He's a wacko.
The gall, the nerve. The hubris. I guess when you're a billionaire, you know,
you take a man's hat off.
Hand.
Remember, me and Harry had the issue in Boston where Harry knocked my hat off.
You take a hat off of somebody.
I had to tell Harry, I said, I don't know what you think you're doing.
You might expect to get popped.
I said, but you have now crossed the line. I go, you need to be careful. I don't know what world you come from.
Right.
But when you take a man's hat off like that, that is not a, that is a gesture of let's drop the gloves and let's go. Period.
David Tepper, wow. I don't know how I missed that story. What else, Adam?
Roger Goodell was on Punting with Pat McAfee, and he talked about moving the season to 18 games, mm-hmm. getting rid of a preseason game, mm-hmm. and this would put the Super Bowl, he would like to have the Super Bowl played on President's Day weekend so people could have Monday off.
We've sort of hinted. We've hinted at that, right, for a while.
Well, you know, the Super Bowl's on February 8th and 9th in the next couple years.
Yeah?
Yeah, February 8th and February 9th in the next 2 years. Then I think it gets kicked back a week.
How many years, guys, until the Super Bowl is on Memorial Day weekend? Can we celebrate the 4th of July with the Super Bowl? Is that possible?
That's going to be hard.
I always think the Super Bowl has to be played before Easter.
I would think so.
It'll be.
It'll
or St. Patty's Day.
They're going to go to 18. I think we've all hinted at this for a little while. They're going to go to 18.
But why wouldn't they start on Labor Day?
President's Day, you know, like just for example, next year. It's always usually somewhere around the 20th. Next year it's the 17th. It'll be very soon where that Monday will be a government holiday, a day off for a lot of people, and the Super Bowl will be played that weekend. That's going to happen. And we've hinted at that for a little while, knowing that they were going to expand the schedule.
I still think it would be easier to just put it on Saturday. Like, you can't. You could do it on Saturday.
I mean, of course you could. I don't care. You know what? I don't know how I feel about that, Adam. I mean, what do I care at the end of the day? It's the Super Bowl. It's going to be a fun day no matter what. We're all going to watch it. I guess there's something sort of like historical and nostalgic about Sunday, but okay. Am I crazy? I wouldn't rage if you moved it to Saturday. So be it. Move it to Saturday. I don't.
Yeah, Super Bowl Saturday. It's got a ring to
it. It's okay.
It doesn't bother me at all.
I just want to watch the game and be entertained.
It doesn't bother me. I mean, it's the weekend leading up to the damn thing, and anyway, it doesn't matter.
Right.
But you move Media Day up one day.
Right.
You move access to the, but whatever. Who gives a rat's ass?
I don't
Saturday night, people got a chance to recover on Sunday. I don't care. Super Bowl Sunday, Super Bowl Saturday? Have they already, like, coined the phrase? Have they got it copyrighted already?
I don't know.
And somebody else might have it copyrighted, and they might be tentative on doing that because they might have to pay $1 million for the rights of it.
Super Bowl Friday,
I would push. That I would push back against.
That would be stupid.
Yeah. Saturday or Sunday, I think I'd be okay with it.
And
Sunday
finally,
still seems most... Like, I guess Sunday seems most right, but, you know, whatever.
One more thing. I don't know if you guys touched on this or not earlier when talking about all things Caleb Williams to the Bears. He did set a record for most merchandise moved on Fanatics.
Oh, yeah. You said that.
Who this did? Was Caleb Williams had the most merchandise sales on Fanatics ever. Set the record for draft night sales in any sport. That was just set by Caitlin Clark like a week ago.
Yes, that's correct.
Do you know who didn't sell one jersey?
Who?
Marvin Harrison Jr.
Correct.
How can that be?
He has not signed his agreement with the NFLPA, so when you go to buy his merch, it said pending. Him signing his agreement with the NFLPA.
Pending.
I did not know that. Okay.
He's not setting any records.
No, I guess not. He might set some receiving records. Got a chance to be awfully good. All right, that's the Lunch Rush. We are live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Woodridge by Seven Bridges on Route 53. Come by and see us. Waddle's already here. I haven't seen Sylvie yet. Is Sylvie here? Oh, there's Sylvie.
Sylvie might be here.
He's here. You know, Waddle and Sylvie are here. We're going to crosstalk in a little bit.
They got a big meeting.
They got their big meeting going on.
Sit down for an hour.
They're going to take you till 6:30. They're going to get you home on this Friday into White Sox baseball. It's Carmen and York. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to our Bears Friday football feast. It's Carmen and Yurko, live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Woodridge on ESPN Chicago. The new home of Caleb Williams and the Bears.
Another call to the post. We've been doing it since December, and it's almost over. Today's the second to last time that we're going to have anybody qualify for the trip to Woodford with us later in May. How about it?
It is.
So it's on. Caller 50, you win the TwinSpires gift card, the Visa gift card. You can apply it towards your TwinSpires app, make a little money. It's a $150 gift card for the 150th running of the Derby presented by Woodford Reserve. And then you're also in the hopper to join us to go down to Woodford, like I said, in about, gosh, we're going in less than a month at this point, Eric. Down to Woodford.
That we are.
It's going to be fantastic.
Yes,
can't
it'll
wait.
Be the second weekend in May, Carm. Yeah. I believe it's Monday, Tuesday, and a Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that's exactly right. And next week is already the Kentucky Derby. All right, let's get out to the CarX Tire and Auto Guest Hotline and say hi to Mike North. A new odds couple is ready and waiting. We taped it this morning. A lot of NFL, NBA playoffs, some baseball. Cubs are starting a big road trip through Boston and the Bronx over the next 7 days. So Mike and I covered all of that, and you can get that on the ESPN Chicago app. You can also listen over the air tomorrow at 1 on AM 1000. But Mikey joins us now for the bonus play. What's up, Mike?
I want to go to Woodford Reserve with you guys. What do I have to do?
Would love it.
Come on down, Mike.
We'll save you a spot on the bus.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all. You guys are busting it down there,
we're
too, on top
down
of it.
Yep.
Mikey, we're going to be doing bongs on the magic bus.
Oh. And I'm sure there'll be some of the gummies
and maybe a jug.
Basically, is it the same bus that Johnny Cash and June Carter took in the movie?
Yeah.
Or is it a newer version?
It's probably just a slightly newer version. Yeah. we definitely don't have anybody singing quite like Johnny Cash on that bus.
Oh, no. But you know what? You're going to have money to go down there with, because last week we did lose the bonus play. Pittsburgh, for some reason, decided to look in the mirror and say we're the Pittsburgh Pirates, and
exactly,
they didn't score. Yeah. I went 1-1 for the week. But, I mean, the bonus play, I'm 6-2 the last 8 weeks. But, you know, I was really surprised when I looked at the NBA today. And I know that there are three games. You got the Bucks, Pacers. You got the Clippers, Mavericks. You got Timberwolves and Phoenix. And I'm going, okay. Well, there's no doubt that the Timberwolves and Phoenix have the highest total. I mean, you got Durant. You got Booker. You got, the guys on the other team, Milwaukee. I mean, Minnesota can shoot the lights out. Yeah, you know, the Ant and everybody else. And then I looked, they have the lowest total.
Yep, they do.
Yeah, 208. Yep. 208 and a half. This is not easy. It's not hard. It's not complicated. But you know what? You could lose like we did last week. But I just got to take the under in this game. I think Phoenix might put together a halfway decent defensive effort. They can't put a full one together. But also Minnesota's great defensively.
They are.
they've been checking. They've been letting Durant get his points, but everybody else, for the most part, been shut down. But I'm going to take the under, guys. 208.5 in this one. Too tantalizing to take the over. I'll hate myself if I take the over and it goes in and the final score is 198. So the way I'm going under.
I love it. All right, so under Suns and T-Wolves. And, man, that T-Wolves team really can guard perimeter around the rim. It's something. So great stuff, Mikey. We'll talk to you next Friday, all right?
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
See you, buddy. You too. There's Mike North at North to North on X, and he joins us with the bonus play about this time each and every Friday. More of your Bear calls are coming up next. 312-332-3776, plus a couple other things about the Bears receiver room going into 2024. This is as good as we've ever seen it here in Chicago, plain and simple. We are live at Buffalo Wild Wings with Miller Lite. We're at the B-Dubs by Seven Bridges in Woodridge. Waddle and Sylvie broadcast their show live. We'll crosstalk here in about 35 minutes. We're back in two.